I went to a retreat one time, and they had a big old pile of clay. And they said, just take a little piece of clay and just pray and meditate and shape it into what your soul looks like. You ever done something like that before? It's great. It was just great. And so it was we were at Camp Sumatanga and Eva Walker, you know, and just there. And everybody was just, the music was going and we were all just praying. And it was just, so we just shaped whatever that was. We let our hands, one of the things, you know, is that with artists can tell you this, a lot of times what you need to express comes out through your hand. It bypasses the brain, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So our hands shape some really beautiful things. And what I thought was kind of interesting about it was that every woman in that group, it was a retreat with men and women, and every woman had some kind of a vessel. And I think that's, you know, kind of an archetype for us, that we see our souls as a vessel. And maybe, I'm not saying men's souls aren't like that, because they are too, but I think women, maybe we're a little more in touch with the womb and our kind of being receivers and collectors, gatherers, you know, something like that. But a vessel is a wonderful shape to just kind of picture for your own soul. And so today I want us to talk about, when we say, fill my cup, Lord, what does that mean? To think about our own soul as a vessel that needs to be filled. So just kind of start by getting that image in your mind. Now, we talked about earlier with the breath prayer about crisis and about moving through the storms of life and going from season to season. And the breath prayer is that kind of carries us through that and gives us that consistency, that even level in our lives. You probably have heard this before, but the Chinese character for crisis is danger and opportunity. It's kind of a combined two characters, danger and opportunity. And so when you think about a crisis, any of you in crisis right now? Okay. You know, there's potential for danger, there's potential for opportunity. And so as Christians, we want to find, what is the opportunity there? I talked about Lithuania when Dale was came back from Lithuania. He had been there, and he came back with scabies on his arms. You know, you pick that up from just being in somebody else's bed that's got bugs and creepy things like that. There are all kind of dangers inherent, but we had to trust that in this time of transition there would be opportunity. Be opportunity for growth and new life. Is this working okay? Is it working all right? Okay, sorry. Okay. So the breath prayer is the time that our lives and God's life interact, that threshold point. And as we do that, as we continue with our breath prayer, we grow and we mature to full maturity. That's our hope as Christians. So as we think about ourselves as vessels, there's a story that I was told by Claude Whitehead, and he got it from someone else too, I'm sure, but about a young man who wanted to learn from a spiritual giant, and he was just somebody that he looked up to, and he said, you know, I want to be like you. Could you just spend a little bit of time with me? And so he said, sure, just come on over. We'll have some tea. And so the young man went and started talking to him. He said, well, what I've been wanting to tell you is, you know, these are my dreams and my hopes and my goals, and I'm thinking about going to seminary, and just this whole long list of all the things that he was planning to do to, you know, be like this great mentor that he looked up to. And as he was talking, the mentor was, he took the pitcher, the little pot of tea, and started pouring it in his cup. And he poured and he poured and he poured, and he was kind of halfway aware of it, and he just kept pouring, and it just started spilling over the lip of the cup and spilling over onto the saucer and spilling over onto the table. And he said, stop, what are you doing? And he said, I'm doing exactly what you're doing. I'm just filling and filling and filling. And we can't be filled with that which is so good until we empty ourselves. And so this is what you look like right now to me. Someone who's already got so much stuff coming in need to be emptied. So the rule for us today to think about is, one, empty before filling. If we want God to fill our cup, if we say, fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup, fill my vessel, we've got to find ways that we can empty that vessel. Now, I told you some of my story and the way that a tragedy can really empty us. And if you've been through any kind of loss, you know what I'm talking about. It's that, I always pictured it as this great big dark abyss. And you didn't really want to get closer to it. But you just feel like, oh gosh, this is my life. Or I guess I always looked at it too like this, where it's like a hand right in front of your face. That's all you can see. It so encompasses all of your life, everything you think about it. You know, I would go shopping with my sister-in-law. She'd be picking out something for her daughter, and I'd have to run out of the store because I didn't have a daughter that age. That was all I could think about. You just sort of obsess about that tragedy, that loss, that difficulty you're going through. So it's like the hand in front of the face. And our hope is that we can begin to see the hand more like that and see the rest of the world going on around us. So we have to empty ourselves, and a crisis then where something happens to us causes us just to become completely wiped out and void. Sometimes we feel like, I'm so empty, there's just nothing left inside of me. So sometimes that's forced on us. Now, we can fight that, or we can say, okay, God, I don't have that anymore. What can you fill? What can you put in place of that emptiness that I have? So that's one thing. This session, I want to talk about another form of prayer, and that's centering prayer. And Thomas Keating made this sort of popular too. It's also an old form of prayer. Have any of you ever done centering prayer before? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? It's kind of, okay, it's all right. What centering prayer does is it empties us. And it's very different from other kinds of prayer. The breath prayer sort of gives us direction and gives us strength and gives us focus. The centering prayer causes us to empty ourselves. And I'm in a group that does this every week together, and we just can't wait. We talk for a while, but then we just turn off the conversation, and we put on some very quiet music for between 20 and 30 minutes. And we're not listening to words of music. It's just music that starts us, and then there's silence. So what we do in centering prayer, and you can write this down, this is another technique for prayer that I think you might like, is if you can find 20 minutes a day. Now, breath prayer takes any length of time you want it to take, but the centering prayer takes about 20 minutes. And I'm going to try, since I think we've got time to do this today, we're going to try to do this together. Again, you get comfortable if you can. And this is a little more important because you're going to sit for a little bit longer time. And what you do is you find one word, not a whole sentence, but one word to focus on. And if you don't want a word, that's okay too. You can focus on something like a candle and light a candle in the room and just focus on the light of that candle. And if you can do it, focus on nothing at all. But sometimes one word kind of helps us. So just one word from Scripture, a word from God. And what you're trying to do is just keep thinking, this is just a great big spiritual broom, and I'm going to sweep away everything that's not about that word, or sweep away everything at all that comes in. And so as you close your eyes and you begin to, you know, your mind starts thinking, what am I going to go stop at the grocery store and get on the way home? You know, oh, whose birthday? I got to get that birthday card in the mail. You know, all those millions of things that we think because we multitask all the time, don't we? As soon as it comes in your mind, just imagine this great big broom just brushing it away. Brushing it away, brushing it away. And in doing so, what we're doing is we're uncluttering our lives so that we can focus on Christ within us. And that's it. And that's enough. It's just the presence of Christ within us. Okay, so I think, let's see, make sure I've said everything about that. Yeah. So when the word kind of helps you to focus, when you start to think about all the other things, you get distracted, or you start praying for other people, the word helps you get just focused back on that word. Okay. So if you'd like to try that, I want to give us a chance to do it. And you're going to see how What a great use of 5 minutes this is. So if you're a busy stay-at-home mom and you find yourself with 5 minutes, you can do this one. 20 minutes is great, and maybe longer is better if you can, but I think even 5 minutes is good. So what I want to do is ask you first just to sit comfortably, and you don't have to have anything on your lap, just however you're most comfortable. I wish we had it. We don't have a candle here. There might be a light, you know, there could be like a light there, or the guitar for music, or there might be a symbol here that's helpful to you. Or you might just be thinking of a sacred word. So just take a few moments first just to think of the word that you're going to hold on to, the word or the image. If you want a visual image, that's fine, but you might want to just close your eyes. It might be easier in this group to close your eyes. So get an image in your head of a sacred word or symbol. Okay. Now, does everybody have something? I'm gonna give you 5 minutes. And during that 5 minutes, and I'll just sort of just say, I'll just lead the Lord's Prayer when we're finished. And then just slowly come back and open your eyes after the Lord's Prayer. But what I want you to do is just to practice that word, just say the word, focus on the word. And what you're really practicing today, the hardest thing, is just pushing away everything but that, okay? A broom. Some people say they want like a big push broom. Some people like to imagine a feather. Just kind of gently brush that away, okay? And empty yourself. And then become aware of the presence of Christ within. Okay, let's begin now our time of centering prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Why don't you, I know you all had some different experiences for that 5 minutes. It seemed like a long time. Talk to somebody sitting next to you for just a minute and tell them what that was like, what the experience was like for you. Okay. Thank you for sharing. It's not for everyone, but some people really, really like that. And what this prayer does is it changes us. It's a discipline, isn't it, to be able to be quiet. Any comments from some of you about how that was for you? Is it hard? Focus. Hard to focus. Okay. Things just pop in your head. All right. Uh-huh. You're probably the only one who had that, right? Oh, you heard your stomach growl? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's louder than usual when you're quiet like that, isn't it? Okay. All right. So that's just something I thought you might enjoy. I like to do it. I just think it, in this day, we're all so busy. We have so much on our minds. And I wonder sometimes how God can, you know, put something in that vessel. When we say, fill my cup, Lord, how God can put something in when we're already so full. So my friend Donna gave me this prayer that it's an Indian prayer that's anonymous, and I really like it. I just want to share this with you. O great chief, light a candle in my heart so that I may see therein and sweep the rubbish from your dwelling place. So light a candle in my heart so I can see what's there and sweep it out. When I mentioned earlier that we went to Lithuania, and we were there for 3 years as missionaries, starting new churches and working with the young pastors who had not had any training. Most of them were new Christians even, and they were here in seminary learning how to be pastors. And so our job was really just to help the church get started again, because they had been closed for those 50 years of the communist era, and there were no Bibles, no churches, no religious teachings or anything. And so that was a great experience. But we learned a lot just from their culture. They had a Christmas tradition that they do, and that is to, at Christmas time, on Christmas Eve, when everybody else like us were having company, they were cleaning the house. And they cleaned the house for Christmas Eve in preparation to receive the Christ child, just like you would have your house spick and span if you've got a baby coming in. That's what they did. They cleaned their house. And so from top to bottom, it was clean, and they threw all the water out, you know, just made sure that there was no dirt or anything in the house. And then they would take fresh new hay and put that on their table, and then they would put on top of that the tablecloth. And so for Christmas dinner, it was all on the hay there. And they would remember that we were about welcoming Christ in our lives. And I think that's a good image, too, is spiritual house cleaning. Just cleaning out, getting rid of stuff. Like the prayer goes, so that I may sweep the rubbish from your dwelling place. The Sumut Kids book talks, it's a really good book for a study or just for you to read. If you're going through a midlife crisis, I think you'd like it, but I think it's just a really good book. But she talks about shedding our false selves, and that was what really helped her through this challenging time in her life. She said she had to realize that in her 50s that she was not who she had acted like all of her life, that she had sort of been wearing some false selves that were given to her by her parents or her husband,
And that's not really who she was. And that's a really important spiritual exercise to have. Meister Eckhart in the 14th century called that the true seed, finding the true seed within us. It's not saying I'm going to be who I want to be. It's saying who am I really? Not who have I acted like and who have other people told me I am, but who am I really? So that onion of our life, at this time in our lives, we have a chance to peel some layers back and say, you know what, that's not who I am. And so Sumant Kidd spent a lot of energy trying to find her true self, her genuine self. Carl Jung says that the first half of our life, our spiritual life, we're developing our ego, kind of learning how to relate to the world around us. But the second half, we're developing our inner self, our true self. And Thomas Merton talked about that too, with our true self. So part of the spiritual house cleaning is getting rid of who we're not and being okay with that. Sometimes when we have a tragedy or a loss, we learn a little bit more about ourselves, don't we? We learn what's important and what's not important. And we learn, you know, who we are at our very core, and learn to value that and learn to just not worry about the rest of it. And as someone said to me, Kelly, you just don't smile all the time like you used to. And I thought, that's okay. Maybe I don't need to smile all the time. Maybe that was a false self that I had, I grew up with, and I always thought I was supposed to smile all the time. I don't smile all the time anymore. That's okay. And as I said earlier, sometimes that emptying, that spiritual house cleaning, isn't something that we choose. It's thrust upon us. But we need to trust that where there's an empty space, God will fill it. God will fill that empty space. When I was sometime in maybe October, after the tornado in March, I was had already been scheduled to do this, and I decided I really wanted to do it anyway. Go to Arkansas to a monastery, a Benedictine monastery. Lacrina Whitaker is a writer, a Benedictine nun, and I had read A Tree Full of Angels, and I thought, I just want to meet this person because I love the way she writes and I love the message, and I just want to meet her. So I had written to her and asked her if I could just come out there and spend some time with her. And I was still planning to do that. And then some people came to our community to help with tornado relief, and they were from that area. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, well, this is just unreal. And so then they started talking to me. So anyway, they hosted me in their home when I first got there, and I got to come to their church and meet some of the other people. But anyway, I stayed then at the monastery. And while I was there, Lacrina was just such a wonderful spiritual guide, and she said, this is your time, and if you don't want to come and eat with the sisters, you don't have to. We'll just bring your food to your door and let you know it's here. And I'll meet with you once a day, but other than that, you're on your own. And it was so wonderful because I just hadn't had any time alone. I hadn't had time to read what I wanted to read and to write. And I took a laptop and just did everything that I wanted to do. And it was really wonderful time. And I didn't go eat with the nuns. I just, you know, stayed in my room. So then we had a retreat after that, and it was really, really good, and we just all worked through a lot of things that we were dealing with on a spiritual direction level. So it was a full week. I had driven to Birmingham from Piedmont and left my car at the airport. So as I was coming into the airport, I was so full, and I just prayed one of those prayers that was just from the gut. And I said, God, you know what? I just want to hold Hannah's hand again, just one more time. Then I felt kind of bad for praying that because I knew it wasn't ever going to happen, but I did. And as I was landing, I looked out, and in the airport you can see at the gates, you know, people could get a lot closer then. And I looked, and Dale had decided to drive to the airport to meet me, and he had little Sarah, who was two, and they came out to meet me. And I was so glad to see them. I hadn't been away from them in a while, and Sarah just took my hand and refused to let go of my hand. She's just 2 years old. But I knew in that moment that that was God's answer to my emptiness. You know, I haven't left you void. I haven't left you empty. I've given you another child to hold your hand. And it was just so strange because she refused to let go. And so we were walking on the curbs. We were walking through, you know, getting our suitcases, and everywhere that we went,
And she refused to let go of my hand. God fills those empty places. God will fill those empty places. And it's not a consolation, but it's another direction. It's another chapter. It's another season in our lives that God is waiting to give us when we can begin to let go and say goodbye to some of the past that we hold on to. There are also a lot of rituals that we can do that I think are so helpful. If you're that kind of person, to have ways of letting go. Do you have some ways of letting go of things? Sometimes people write something down and then they burn it. Maybe letting go. I knew someone who wrote a letter that was just someone had hurt them. And they wrote a long letter and told them everything that was on their heart. And instead of giving it to them, they just burned it. That's a way of letting go. That's a way of taking that big broom and just sweeping it out. It's done. You said what needed to be said. You didn't give it to that person. You gave it to God and to let go. So there are sort of rituals that we can create to help us let go. On Hannah's birthday, we had a little birthday party and we stood on a stump because she liked to climb on tree stumps and any kind of little benches. She was just at that age where she liked to jump. I mean, she jumped in our house from couch to chair. She's just that kind of child. And so we stood on a tree stump, and we just let go of 5 balloons. And with each balloon, we said something that was really wonderful and special about her that we knew, you know, wasn't there anymore, but we released that. And that was a really significant ritual for us to, on that anniversary date, to say, you know, say those things and to let go. Helium balloons, I know they're not good for the environment, but they're good for our soul, so I think God understands. Yeah. Sometimes it's maybe just burning a candle. That's what we, on the anniversary of the tornado, we didn't know what to do, really, just our family. And so Dale and I just got a candle, and we just lit a candle, and we just sat there at the candle, and that's all we did, and it was enough. So just something that helps us to realize, you know, this is where I am. This is my life right now, and I'm letting go. Okay. Is it the Pepsi commercial that says, "Obey your thirst"? Is it Pepsi? Obey your thirst. Remember that commercial? Oh, maybe it didn't make a big hit. I was just remembering that. Obey your thirst. And another way that we can do our own spiritual vessel filling is to intentionally feed our hunger, to feed our thirst. What are ways that you do those? How do you feed your spiritual hunger? How do you feed your thirst? Do you just show up for church and hope somebody else will hand it to you? Sometimes that happens. But there are ways that we can do that. And if you're feeling thirsty, you're probably already beyond dehydrated, is what the exercise physiologists tell us, that you know, if you're thirsty, then that means you should have been drinking water a long time ago. So how do we feed that thirst and feed that hunger? We need to find ways to do that. Fill my cup, Lord. How are ways that God can fill our cup? We have to put ourselves in those places. Today, to come to a retreat like this meant that you had to give something up, didn't it? Some of you probably gave up something you really wanted to do. Maybe you liked to garden. This was a great day for gardening. Maybe somebody asked you to do something, you wanted to do it. Maybe your children needed you there. But you have to give things up in order to come and be fed, don't you? And I commend you for that, and I hope you've been spiritually fed through the fellowship and the music and everything here. So we need to replenish our souls. Sweeping out the cobwebs. What's old stuff? What's the old stuff? What are the cobwebs in your vessel that need to be swept out and said goodbye to? There's a commercial right now for Shell Oil, and they show, I don't even know what part it is, and probably most of you don't know the name of it. It's this little piece that goes in your engine, or, you know, wherever the gas is, I don't know. And it's all gunked up. Have you seen it? And they said, this is what the other gas looks like. When you've been using that as Shell Oil, it's nice and clean. And so they're trying to say, our gas doesn't have gunk in it. And I thought about that. I thought, well, We probably have a lot of gunk in our system, too, that needs to be cleaned out. What's the gunk? We have to get away and take time to de-gunkify our lives. A friend of mine taught me this, that something that she does. Somebody gave her a beautiful glass bowl, and she just loved it. She didn't know what to do. She didn't really want to use it for serving. And then she came across this old ritual, a Tibetan ritual, of taking that vessel and filling it. And they would fill, what they would do is they'd fill it from a fresh stream, fill it with water. And at the beginning of the day, you take that vessel, and this is what she does. She takes the vessel and she fills it up with water, and she just thinks about all that she's been given. She thinks about those twin children. She thinks about the grandchildren. She thinks about the home in which they live and all the things that make her life full. And she just does that. And then at the end of the day, she goes back to that place where the water is, and she gives thanks for the fullness of the day, and then she dumps out the water, and tomorrow will be another day to be filled with. I like that ritual, too. I think that's another good way that we become present. We are present right now, right here and now, to what's happening. There's so many times that we become clouded with that hand in front of the face, or that those dark clouds that are hovering over, and we miss the present. We miss what God's doing right here and now. We miss that other child who needs to hold our hand and needs her hand held. We miss so much. But when we can focus on emptying, and God has so much to fill our lives with. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. God bless you. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I know we're going to close with some music, and I'll be around, too, to talk with some of you. I've enjoyed seeing you, and thank you so much.